Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conley.
For God so loved the world, that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon Him would not perish, but have eternal and everlasting life. And thanks be to God for this gift. Amen. And I invite you to be seated as I invite the children to come forward and join me up here up top. Everybody, come on up. How you doing? You having a good sunny morning? Because it's a good sunny day. Nobody's sitting. Everybody's standing. Come on up to the top steps. Everybody come join me up here. Come join me up here so everybody can see you. Is everybody up here? So now look out at the congregation. A couple of you look back here at the choir because we don't want to ignore the choir. Why wave at the choir? So look out at the congregation. Now raise your hand. Have any of you ever gone shopping with your parents? You have. Now, put your hands down. Have any of you ever been perfect when you went shopping with your parents? Okay, John Kramer. Okay, we've got a few. We have a few. Do you see? We have a few. That's great. So I want to ask you a question. If you knew that you needed bananas and you were in the grocery store, how would you find those bananas? Do you know where the bananas are?
Fruit section.
In the fruit section. Where's the fruit section? The second aisle. It depends on what store you're at. But you have to look around, and so you look where there are a lot of fruits and vegetables, and you find bananas, right? Okay, I've got another really hard one for you. Where do you find bread?
Like in the middle of the store.
In the bread section, right? Because it's pretty big. There's like a whole line of millions of different breads, right? Okay. Okay, you're doing really well. Okay, I've got one more for you. Where do you find the artichoke pesto? The artichoke pesto aisle. If that's in a store, I want to go to that store, because that's pretty cool. It's usually just a few. How would you find the artichoke pesto? Can you do me a favor? I'm going to get the bananas in the bread. Will you go get the artichoke pesto? What would you need to do to find the artichoke pesto? Ask someone. That is a great thing. You need to ask somebody, where's the artichoke pesto?
So, and
ask people for help. And today's scripture is about asking God for help. How do we know where you are? How do we get there? Thomas asks. And Jesus gives him that answer, that He's the way, so follow Him. So sometimes it's really easy to find your way to simple kind of things. But we need to remember that it's okay to ask God, help me find the way. Can you remember to do that each day? Amen? Right? Can you say amen? Can you say with enthusiasm?
Amen.
Okay, we got one enthusiastic, an amen all together. Ready? Okay, congregation, teach them how to say amen.
Amen.
Okay, did you hear that? Give it back to him. Amen.
Amen.
One more time. I'll count to three, and then you yell it out to them real loud. One, two, three.
Amen.
All right, and we want you to remember. We want you to remember that you're
beautiful. I love you, and we love you too.
Amen. You can head on back. Worship with your parents, or head to the care, the nursery care, the elder care. beauty that you surround us with. The beauty of your creation, the beauty of the opportunity we have here in this place, in this country, for freedom of gathering to worship. We thank you for that gift. And so as we walk and we celebrate and we live in that gift, we ask that you would open our hearts to you, that we might hear you speaking to us this day. And we pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, it is a season, isn't it? It's turning into summer. We celebrate that today. But it's another season now also. It's graduation season. A lot of people are excited about moving towards graduation. And a number of us have seen various graduations on the news, on television, or in print, and read about all that's going on there. You see sometimes the crowds are cheering for the speaker, and other times the crowds are booing the speaker, and other times the crowds are just walking out when the speaker begins to start. And we can ask, what is going on with our world? What is happening? And as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, the world really isn't that different, really. I mean, have you ever paid attention to what happened during plays in Shakespeare's time? Do you remember that from your high school English class? So all the people would be standing there during the play. The performance was going on up there. Do you remember what would happen? There would be cheers. There would be boos. And sometimes there would be various forms of unpleasant food that was chucked forward during the presentation. Do you remember that that was the reality that was there? So really, in a lot of ways, our world has not changed, and it continues not to change as God is calling each one of us to do what? To change, to be transformed. At Gordon College, Michael Lindsay spoke at that graduation there, and he said in his speech that there are two kinds of virtues to consider upon graduation. There are the resume virtues, and there are the eulogy virtues. The former is the most what colleges, parents, and graduates have spent their time focusing and obsessing on over the past 4, 8, whatever number of years it has been. Resume virtues consist of things like trophies, awards, plaques, articles and books published, boards served on, wealth accrued, brand popularity, positions occupied, all of these are those resume virtues, and they equal one's professional accomplishments relative to others. How I did versus you, resume virtues. He went on to speak about eulogy virtues by contrast, that they consist of things like love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, courage, and self-control. Eulogy virtues equal one's relational disposition toward both God and others. While having the former does not necessarily preclude the latter, I can almost guarantee, Lindsay wrote, that you will have challenges when the resume virtues come up against the eulogy virtues at times during your career and life. So what is it that you're working on most in your life is the invitation before us this day. Are you working hardest on your resume virtues? Be working hardest on your eulogy virtues. Let that sit. Let that dwell as we turn to God's word. Chapter you know that I know well and love well. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Resume virtues or eulogy virtues? Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way of the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do not know him and have not seen him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me. Believe me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe in me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. And this is God's word to us this day. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. He's sitting with the disciples and the others that had been following him at that time, and they're in the midst of that upper room and sharing that meal together, and he's wanting to speak to them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Remember, they're a bit confused here. They're confused about what's about to happen, this sacrifice and this resurrection. They still don't understand it. They get that Jesus seems to be going somewhere or will be taken away from them. And so Jesus is saying, do not let your heart be troubled. He's speaking to them because they live in a world that's scary. They don't know what's going to happen around any turn, around any corner. The government at that time was challenging and oppressive. Their world was scary. And so Jesus says to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. As Jesus is saying and sharing those words to each one of us. Hap Kirkley, a German comedian, wrote a book, I'm Off Then. The book is about his journey on the Camino de Santiago, the pilgrimage walk of 1,200 years that begins on the border of France and goes across the northern part of Spain. He kind of came up with the idea rather quickly. He knew he needed to seek some peace with God in his life and had heard about this walk and decided in 1 week I'm going to do that. So went out and bought all the equipment, didn't tell any of his friends where he was going, flew into France and then trained down to St. John and began the walk. And it was hard because you walk through the Pyrenees at first. And he struggled in the rain and the hills and the mud. But he gets to one point where he's in a field, and as he looks out across this field, there are a number of cairns that are there, piles of rocks, one pile after another, all throughout this field. thousands and thousands, maybe even millions of pilgrims that have carried and placed stones as a remembrance of being here and walking this journey, this pilgrimage with God. And so as he was standing there, he recognized in that moment, in his discouragement of body that was so sore, in his discouragement of how much miles lay ahead of him, he stood there in that field and he looked around, and it was as if all these rocks represented all those that had gone before him, telling him, "You can do it. Do not let your heart be troubled. You can do it." He walked a little bit further, and being a German speaker, and remember he's in Spain, there was a billboard that was like a bizarre billboard in the middle of nowhere. And somebody had put a poem on it written in German. And it said this: "Why do I deal with the dry dust in my mouth, the mud on my aching feet, the lashing rain and the glaring sun on my skin? Because of the beautiful towns? Because of the churches? Because of the food? Because of the wine? No. Because I was summoned." And he was floored when he read those words. It's like the billboard was put up just for him. Jesus is putting up a billboard for each one of us, speaking to us, reminding us in these beautiful, intimate words, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let your heart be troubled." And he goes on to tell those that are gathered there at that moment, "For I go and prepare a place for you." Here is this beautiful heavenly image that Jesus is speaking about. As you're dealing with the stuff of today and the scariness of the world, as I tell you, do not let your heart be troubled, I also want to tell you that there's something that you're heading towards. For this is not home. I have prepared an eternal home and dwelling place for you. Jesus says it here at this moment. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, speaks it throughout Scripture. And I placed the two in the garden, Adam and Eve. This beautiful garden, and I give them dwelling and communion with me and the beauty of all that's here and stewardship over this place. A heavenly image. Psalm 46. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will be with you when the morning dawns. Be still and know that I am God." To the Old Testament also speaks these words of a place that has been prepared from us, for us, from the very beginning. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." And from the New Testament, "And here comes Jerusalem, descending from heaven as a bride prepared for her husband. And there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. For the old has passed and the new has come. Do not let your hearts be troubled in this scary world. Remember, there is an eternal dwelling place for you that I have gone and prepared for you." Jesus is saying to the disciples and those gathered there, and Jesus is saying to each one of us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you." Yet as many of us have asked at different points along our faith journey, "Lord, how will we know where you are? How will we know the way? How? How can that be?" And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How will we know the way? How will we know where you are when we look at Manchester this week? When we look at Minya in Egypt this week? When we look at Afghanistan this week? How will we know where you are? How will we know the way? You know, an interesting thing happened after the horror of the attack of Manchester. Did you hear that Mr. Rogers went viral? Anybody else hear about that? Mr. Rogers going viral after that attack. Quoting Mr. Rogers, it said, "In the midst of these tragedies, always look for the helpers. In the midst of the horror of the world and the pain of the world," Mr. Rogers said, Presbyterian pastor, Mr. Rogers said, "Always look for the helpers." And so there was a guy who grew up in Pittsburgh, went to school in Pittsburgh, and he saw that going viral, and he just kind of needed to go further. And so on Twitter, he described his whole experience with Mr. Rogers. He was in college, and he was struggling with a lot of questions that college students struggle with, particularly in those middle years. Am I good enough? Do I suit up to everyone else? Are my resume virtues in the right place? That challenging time that we're at. And at a very discouraged moment, he was walking through his dorm, and in the empty lounge with the TV left on, he heard the song, "Won't You Be My Neighbor?" And just stood there and listened to the whole thing, remembering his childhood, remembering the peace of being in the midst of hearing that song and enjoying that show as a child. So he smiled and he went on. It was days later, he's in an elevator and the door opens up. And who's waiting to get on the elevator with him? Just take a guess.
Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers was there and he stepped on and oh, I forgot to share the name with you. So this is all Anthony Brezican. So Anthony's standing there and, you know, he's just kind of overwhelmed. Oh, this is Mr. Rogers. Kind of has one of those moments, but just stands there and kind of, you know, smiles at him, but doesn't say anything. And as he gets off, before Mr. Rogers gets off this elevator, he holds the elevator and he turns around and he says, "Thank you. Thank you for all that you have done for me." And Mr. Rogers says, "When you were growing up, were you one of my neighbors?" And then he sees something in this boy's face. And he takes off the scarf that he's wearing and he steps out of the elevator at that moment and he says, "Is there something that's bothering you right now that you need to talk about?" And so they went over to a window seat and they sat down and they spoke for some time together. And it turned out that his grandfather had just died. And his grandfather was his rock, his touchstone in the family. He was the one that he could always rely on. And so there in the midst, Mr. Rogers listened and he heard the eulogy virtues that had come out from his grandfather. Mr. Rogers blessed him and told him, "Those are what you're to carry with you. Those eulogy virtues is what God is inviting you to take with you to empower your life, to transform your life, to live your life." Beautiful. "Do not let your hearts be troubled," Jesus said. "It's a scary world, I know it." How will we know the way? I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus doesn't leave it at that point. after the part of scripture that we read, he reminds the people there that once he is gone, he is sending the Paraclete in Greek, which means comforter. He is sending the Holy Spirit to continue to teach you, me, and empower us with these eulogy virtues so that we might walk differently and live differently. So remember that question that was before us from the very beginning. What are you working on hardest? Your resume virtues or your eulogy virtues? For you know what Jesus, you know what Mr. Rogers has invited us to do, and most especially, you know what Jesus is inviting us to do. If you were here for Ellen Steele's memorial service and heard some of the jazz music, the beautiful music that came from the choir, you heard me share this quote, but it's just too dang good to not use again. From one of my favorite books, The Challenge of Who We Are to Be. A quote from Donald Miller in Blue Like Jazz, a young boy who was abandoned by his earthly father and always struggled with this image of a heavenly father. And the book is about his journey coming to know how loved he is by God. And at the beginning of that book, there's an author's note. And that author's note says, "I never liked jazz music because jazz music doesn't resolve, doesn't complete. But I was outside the Baghdad Theater in Portland one night when I saw a man playing the saxophone. I stood there for 15 minutes and he never opened his eyes. After that, I liked jazz music." Sometimes you have to watch somebody love something before you can love it yourself. It's as if they're showing you the way. To each one of us here this day, Jesus has shown us the way. He has sent the Spirit to empower us, so that we might be people that live like that jazz musician. That people just see us with our eyes closed and loving the music and loving the tune that God is playing inside the depth of our soul. Even to the point where they ask, "Why are you so different? Why do you not respond the way everybody else does? Why do you speak with such gentleness and caring? Why are you so loving and thoughtful?" Because they just see the song coming out of our souls. That's the invitation of transformation for each one of us in this moment, in this day.
Thank you.
place, looking to you to heal our hurts and to offer counsel. We are members of the human family. We belong to the crowd, yet each one is alone. Every distinct story and our common human story are all a puzzle. We are poor and the rich, the hungry and the satisfied. Now we weep, now we laugh. The pieces of our lives, of each and all, seem to never quite fit together. We await your restoring word. And your word comes, O God. And your word comes in expected and unexpected ways. Here you lift us from poverty. There you strip us of our security. Now we mourn, now we are comforted, now we jest. And you cut short our easy laughter. Your word comes to humble us with mercy and judgment. Your word comes to enliven us and fulfill us with great joy. Our God, we are members of the human family. We are your children. To us all, give ears to hear your word, the promise and the challenge that you speak before us each day. For our world in need, dear gracious and loving and merciful God, by spirit, by your presence, by the presence of your children, make your truth, grace, and mercy known. And gracious and holy God, continue to lead each one of us to walk in unity as brothers and sisters, that we might be a united witness of that presence. So unite us now at this time as we call upon you, just as your Son Jesus taught us to, by praying together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory forever.